Good morning. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. It is good to be with you once again as best as we can. In a moment, we're going to offer everybody an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper if they are comfortable doing that within their homes. Certainly, we understand under these difficult times, everybody's having to make difficult choices, and we encourage you to follow your conscience on this matter. Last week, we began a series in regards to this, looking at the names of the Lord's Supper. And we looked specifically at that term, Lord's Supper, which only occurs once. And like many other things that we see within scriptures, there are multiple names that are used, and sometimes we grab onto one and not the others. For example, Church of Christ, which is only used a few times, we use that rather than Church of God and other names that are used. We refer to elders rather than bishops or overseers or shepherds. It's just something where we pick that particular term. Well, there are other terms for Lord's Supper besides Lord's Supper. And what I want to look at today is the term breaking bread. And as far as breaking bread goes, it is a term that is used in regards to the Lord's Supper for a very obvious reason. Every single time we see the Lord's Supper being clearly talked about, breaking of bread is a part of it. So if you look at Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, in all three accounts where Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, it says that he took bread and broke it, then gave it to them. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, now when it starts talking about the significance of the Lord's Supper and how it impacts the rest of our life, one of the things he says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And then one chapter over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he again brings up the subject of the Lord's Supper, he again mentions the fact that Jesus broke bread. So it's not surprising then that breaking bread just becomes a term to describe the entirety of the Lord's Supper. So in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42, when it describes what these brand new Christians were dedicating themselves to, they would dedicate themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. Or in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we understand it to be talking about the Lord's Supper when it says on the first day of the week when we had gathered together to break bread. Really, if we look at it from that perspective, breaking bread is a much more common term, a much more common term for the Lord's Supper than the Lord's Supper. But it's not a particularly special term. So if we talk about breaking bread, not everybody's automatically going to assume we're talking about the Lord's Supper. And I think there's a reason why we don't use it frequently. Bonnie was just telling me about a time she was in New York, and a New Yorker who was driving her around said, well, we'll do this, and then after that, we'll break bread. And he was just talking about having a meal. And that's also a scriptural concept. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, clearly from the context, it's only talking about having a meal, but it refers to it as the Christians going from house to house on a daily basis, breaking bread, sharing their meals. Or in Acts 27 and verse 35, when Paul is on a boat about ready to get shipwrecked and everybody's been fasting, he just breaks bread. He's not partaking of the Lord's Supper. He's just eating. So breaking bread was a really common term. And it refers to more than just the first half of the Lord's Supper. So when we say breaking bread, we're talking about the whole thing, not just the first part, even though that's the only part that's breaking bread. Breaking bread is, the bread is a inclusive term. It means so much more. For example, in Matthew 6 and verse 11, when Jesus in the model prayer says, give us this day our daily bread, he's not asking for just bread. He's asking for more there. Or in Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, it talks about these great crowds that are pressing in against Jesus to the point that he could not eat bread. It's not saying that he couldn't eat, my mind went blank, ice cream or something else. But it's saying he couldn't eat. It's not saying that he could only not eat bread. He was so pressed in, he couldn't eat anything. In fact, our translators understand that in the New American Standard. It just says that he couldn't eat his meals there. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8, where it talks about how when we were with you, we bought the bread. And he's not saying, well, we wouldn't buy the meat, but we bought the bread. You get the picture. The idea is when we talk about breaking bread, we're talking about the entirety of the Lord's Supper. When the Jews and first century Christians talked about bread, they meant much more than just literal bread. With that in mind, let's talk about breaking bread and the Lord's Supper. First off, what it means when it uses that term breaking bread is it really draws this picture of us uniting together. Look back at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. In that passage in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, it says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" The way that it would work in these first century meals is that they would take a piece of bread, and to begin their meal, they would break that bread and then they would hand it down and everybody would take a piece of this bread. And so it was this idea of a part of the whole. And even if we are in separate homes, this idea is united across the world with Christians all over, that we take a part of the broken piece of bread, one bread broken and shared by all. And so really, when they talk about breaking bread, one of the concepts is this idea of a unity with Christians across the world in this similar action. It also really emphasizes what we need. Bread was the staple of life. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it was called the staff of bread. Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 35 and verse 38 refers to himself as the bread of life. And that's because in John chapter 6 and verse 31, the context to that statement, the people were asking Jesus to give them more food. And they were thinking about what God had done for the people of Israel in the Old Testament during the wandering. And they said, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." And you think about the significance of that. When God's looking at the people of Israel wandering through the wilderness and he wants to provide for them what they need, he gives them bread. When Jesus, in the model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 11, says, "Give us this day our daily bread," Jesus is really saying, "Give us everything we need." And so when we talk about breaking bread, we really are talking about our necessity, our spiritual necessity. What we need is what this meal represents. What we desperately need is Jesus. When it talks about breaking bread, what it indicates is the source of this gift to us. In the early times, in the traditional times of the first century and most of the Bible, really, what would happen is you would gather around a table to have a meal. And it wasn't the cook or a servant who would hand out the food. It would be the head of the household. The head of the household would take the bread and he would break it and then he would hand it to everybody at the table. And by doing that, it was a way of him saying, "This is my meal and this is now my gift to you." And then they would share this common meal. And so when we talk about breaking bread, it really, even though we may be the ones who break a little piece off for ourselves, really it is God who has broken. It is God who has provided it and given it to us. And so in John chapter 6, right after the people said in verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus thought it was really important for them to understand who gave them that bread. And so in verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." It was a gift from God, not from Moses. When Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he takes bread, and I don't know where that bread came from, but he breaks the bread, and now it's his bread, and it's his meal, and he is sharing it with others. And that shows up in John chapter 13 in a rather sad quotation. Jesus references somebody at the table. We know exactly who it is. It's Judas. And Judas is getting ready to betray Jesus. But Jesus says in John 13, verse 18, "I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Jesus doesn't really say, "He who ate bread with me." I know the New King James and the King James Version say that, but if you go back even in those translations, to the quotation where it comes from. If you go back to Psalm 41 and verse 9, even in those translations, it there says, my bread. This was his bread, and he was sharing it. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, yes, we break the bread, but really it is Jesus who broke it, and it is Jesus who gave it to us, handing it out throughout time, a gift from him for us. And the last thing, and it's kind of an interesting thing to me, is that it regards recognizing Jesus when we talk about breaking bread. Now, that's not entailed in the term breaking bread. It's just an interesting thing that happens during the breaking of bread. See, the Bible doesn't talk a lot about Jesus breaking bread, but he does do it on a few occasions. He very specifically stated having done it when he fed the 5,000. Jesus would break those loaves up, and then he would hand it out to be given to everybody. He does that again at the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus breaks those loaves up with his hands, and he hands that out to everybody. And then at the institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus breaks the bread, and he hands it to everybody. There's another time where it specifically mentions Jesus breaking the bread, and that comes in Luke chapter 24. This is after Jesus has been resurrected, and everybody is kind of struggling with the reality. They're struggling to believe that Jesus has been resurrected. And there's these two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus appears to them, and a miracle seems to be going on, because Jesus shows up and he's walking with them and talking with them, and he's talking with them about Jesus, and they don't know it's Jesus with them. They don't recognize him. And Jesus is explaining to them from scriptures all the things that were happening and all the necessities, the prophecies that are being fulfilled, and they're not fully grasping it. But then what happens in Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, they stop for the night. They convince Jesus to join them. And they sit down, and it says in verse 30, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. So then the next verse, in verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So that they get up then and they run back to Jerusalem. They find the disciples, and look what they say in verse 35. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them and the breaking of the bread. I have often wondered if there was something peculiar about the way Jesus broke bread, that they didn't recognize Jesus until that moment. And they said, whoa, wait a second. I don't know if that's exactly what happened or not, but here's what I do know. The breaking of bread for those disciples was a moment in which they recognized who Jesus was. We come not blinded, not in ignorance. We come because we recognize who Jesus is. But we partake of the Lord's Supper. We break bread to declare that recognition, to declare that faith that we believe in Jesus. So when we talk about breaking bread, we mean uniting together. We mean the very thing that our soul needs. We recognize this to be a gift from God, and we recognize that Jesus is our Lord. We will have 5 minutes for us to partake of the Lord's Supper and to break bread, if that is something your conscience allows you to do. And after 5 minutes, we will return for more singing, some prayers, and another lesson.